The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
How else would we celebrate such a great topic than by sharing a bottle of Ferrari Brut?
Welcome to the She Word, conversations that women rarely have, but really should. And I am so insanely excited for this show, not just because I think you're going to love the topic, but also because I have the most amazing diva queens here with me at the table. So, you probably want to know what we're talking about. Just to set the scene, this topic affects over 40% of women in Europe and over 50% of the women in the US. This is a topic that affects thousands of us women here in Malta, because over 5,000 couples have divorced since the introduction of the law in Malta in 2011, and of course, many more with annulled marriages. None of this takes into account separation and breakups. So here is the question that we're looking at today. What does love look like second time round? Or for some of us, third, fourth, maybe even fifth. This show looks at love after the love that you thought would last forever, and is here to give hope to all women who find themselves dealing with the unthinkable. And my beautiful diva queens are, well, first of all, Sarah Bayarda, thank you for coming back on the show. Sarah is a TV presenter, a book author, a mum, a healthy lifestyle enthusiast, as well as committed to empowering other women who are facing challenges. Sarah touched many women and caused a bit of a stir when she was on the show Separation and Divorce last year. But what a great show, and so many women related to your story. So I am really, really happy to have you back on the show. Thank you very much indeed. Sue Caruana, hello, darling. A longtime friend of the show. In fact, is this your third or fourth, something like that? And because we mentioned it before we came and sat down, Sue's keeping it real. The reels that you used to put out every Friday with us here on The She Word had so many of our viewers just completely and utterly in stitches, but also saying, I know exactly how that feels. You've also pinned your heart to your sleeve on several topics, not least of all because of all the challenges that you faced in your life and through relationships, but you're here with a different kind of story for this show, and I can't wait. I am so utterly excited. Stephanie Zamit, hello!
Hi.
You are popping your She Word cherry today.
Yes.
You're here with us. You're a Maltese teacher, model, and beauty pageant title holder who was crowned Miss World Malta in 2007, represented Malta at Miss World. But you also have a huge passion for adventure. You're a mum. You're a fitness queen, Hyrox hero.
Okay.
And so much more, who loves spending time with friends. Now, Steph, is it Steph or Stephanie?
Steph, everyone calls me Steph.
Brilliant, I'm going to call you Steph. Look, we know Sue and Sarah here. We know these ladies. So I'm going to just stay with you for a second. Is there anything that I've missed out? Because that's quite a CV.
I think you mentioned, I don't like to call myself Hyrox Queen, but...
Hyrox Queen?
Well, I'm very passionate about training. And I think one of the reasons why I'm passionate about training is because... you know, as you said, when you go through a breakup, you find yourself clinging to something to love. And because I did not love myself enough, so I resorted to training. I think that was my first love that made me love myself eventually a bit more. And so,
I was wondering what Hyrox was.
Well, I was going to say, can you explain Hyrox?
Death.
Oh wow! That sounds like loving yourself.
Yeah, it's a very very basically it's a functional form of competition. Basically, it involves a lot of running and a lot of ski, a lot of rowing, and wall balls and burpees. And
you basically, it's sort of like an obstacle course without the obstacles. You go from one thing to another.
It's a simplified form of CrossFit, if you may.
Oh, okay.
Okay. With no skill, but with lots of heart. Your heart rate is up all the time.
And let me tell you something. She is a HYROX queen. She came to one of my classes and she is a badass.
HYROX, I don't want to make this about, but yeah, right now there's a big hype here, Malta. So I'm definitely not one of the best athletes. If I can even call myself an athlete. But, you know, I'm very passionate about it and, you know.
Good for you.
Keep your self-care journey on track in just a few clicks with Myoka Spas. Whether for a moment of disconnection, a complete body-mind reset, or a bonding time together, book online stress-free at myoka.com or use the new Myoka app. Complimentary spa facilities on every visit.
Absolutely. Well, we that's probably going to come up later in conversations. We're talking about what we end up doing and how we end up diversifying our lives beyond relationships. But before we dive into this topic, I want to share why we're discussing this conversation. Because I think for many of us, we always think of the one. You know, when we grow up, we get kind of told about brainwash. I wanted to not say brainwash, but you said it, so I'm going to go with it. But we do get brainwashed that there's the Prince Charming, and then there's, I mean, this is all in our stories that we're told as we're kids, and there is this one, and we will find the one. But if you take into account that the one might turn out to be a narcissistic sociopath or a cheater or anything else, then that one can cause a lot of problems. So this conversation also applies for men as well, because men can find themselves in situations where they are with the one and that relationship is really gone sour. But for the sake of this show, we look at it from a female perspective. So briefly, and only with as much information as you're happy to share, what is the relationship that led you to this show? In other words, where are you now and what's your background history? So that we can just put this in context. Only whatever you want to say. Sue's staring at me, so Sue's going first.
Well, you might have been the queen of HYROX, but I think I was the queen of bad relations.
I'll compete with you for that title.
Hey, same here.
So one after the other. And I, before we started the show, we were talking about sort of like, why do we look for these men or attract these men or whatever? And I think it does come from childhood and daddy issues or parent issues or whatever. But I used to say, if there are 100 men in the room, 99 good men and one asshole, I will make a beeline to the asshole.
Chin chin to that. I think we're all going to just cheers to that, because I think we all can relate.
And that is how I describe myself, literally. So my relationships weren't the best at all. And I got to the point where about two years ago, I decided that's it, you know, I'm done. I'm just going to live the single life. I'm not looking for anybody. I'm not interested or whatever. And then it was okay, you know, because I'd spent all of my life looking for the one, or looking for a partner to spend my life with, to share my life with, you know. So I changed the mindset, because obviously not finding the one or being in the wrong relationship was very depressing, you know, sort of. So I gave that up, and that was fine. And I was happy to be on my own with my dogs. And in fact, I sold my property here. I bought a property in Sicily, as my friend says, in bumfuck nowhere, sort of like in the middle of nowhere, where there was nobody and there was no chance of meeting anybody or whatever. And as circumstances had it, I had to come back and spend a lot of time here. There was this person that I've known since I was 14, and I'd had the hots for her at that age, but obviously going back all those years ago, I would never have contemplated being in a relationship with a female. And anyway, so we connected, and she couldn't stand me actually at the beginning. She thought she thought I was a pain in the ass. Anyway, cut a long story short, the most unlikely relationship. I definitely wasn't looking for a relationship. She definitely wasn't looking for a relationship. She was just definitely going to be single and very happy single. I was happy single. And
that plan went to pot because now you're...
Tits up.
I love the fact... I feel like Sue's on the show just to say as many questionable words as you possibly can, but I like tits up. We'll go with that. So the plan for you guys to stay single just totally went to crap.
Yeah, I mean, even when we started, when we first started dating, sort of like that, where it was, you know, listen, this is just going to be friends with benefits, she said. This is friends with, and I, trying to be very cool, said, yeah, of course. and that kind of like after about a week, I was like, I can't do friends with benefits. I don't. from the very first date we went on, we've been together every single day ever since.
Oh, wow. So, look, okay, we're going to leave this there because you set the scene and there's a whole bunch in, I don't know, we're all sitting at the table going, oh, we want the rest of the story. But I'm going to ask Steph.
Okay.
What brings you to the table? What's your story? Just however much you want to share.
Well, I come from the same spot. Like I definitely was not looking for a relationship. I almost felt I did not deserve a relationship. That's when it came.
But you had come out of a relationship.
Yeah,
I was
separated for a few years. Okay, I've been separated for 6 already. So yeah, I've done a bit of soul searching and stuff like that. And you know, I pretty much thought I came from a place where I said, you know what, I don't think I deserve a good guy. So that's when he came out.
We're definitely coming back to this.
Yes, because you know what the modern dating scene, I'm sure you can relate, right? It all starts like that. Like you're not sure who will commit. There's all lots of ifs and buts, and there's so much choice out there. So men don't really value women. Okay, it's a sweeping statement. I know many men will not like this. But yes, unfortunately, there's so much choice out there. And sometimes women are undervalued. You know? So when someone comes along and he wants you for who you are, no, like, you're like, oh.
Yeah, you're in shock.
What? That's it? You just want me and no games, no nothing? So yeah, I was like,
That's it, no
this
games.
Guy's too good to be true. So yes, I spent a few months also going back to therapy. And I used to say my therapist... this is too good to be true. So yes, of course, because I went through a breakup, I found myself, you know, going through therapy occasionally. And yeah, so I went back to therapy and I said, listen, this guy is too good to be true. You sure this is... She used to be like what? Maybe yes, maybe you do deserve this, you know? So yes, so this is where I'm coming from.
Brilliant. So you're with a lovely chap that... Yes. That obviously has shaken your world, and we'll find out about that because this is going to be a good show. And then we come to Sarah. Hello, darling.
Hi.
I feel like we probably don't need to talk too much about your reason for being at this table. Yes. On account of the fact that we did that last time.
I think we've covered most. Yes. This part, like, we've covered most about my separation, my divorce, and how I came to the stage that I am today. But perhaps what we did not mention during that show, since we were so focused on like the actual divorce, yep, is where it all comes from. So before the show, in fact, we were just mentioning, and Sue just pointed it out, we were trying to figure out, like, why do we choose these bad boys?
Yeah.
Like, I know for a fact that I kept on repeating the same pattern over and over and over again. Even before my marriage, I had this issue. Mm. So after I did actually get separated and divorced, I just found myself initially actually doing the same mistake.
Yeah.
Which then I had to kind
got
of
an
like...
award for that one.
Remind myself that, okay, Sarah, so the cards are on the table. The common denominator out of all of these is you.
Yes.
Your picker is definitely wrong. Mm-hmm. And you need to do some internal work. Stop dating. Stop everything that you're doing. Stop trying to find love because you need to find yourself. Mm-hmm. And randomly enough, out of the time where I wasn't looking for a relationship at all, I was just happy doing my books, getting back on television, hosting shows. I met my now partner.
But this is and you're quite well known as a couple because obviously both of you are in the public sphere and public eye, and people know who you are. But what's really interesting is that we've all come at this from very, very different angles, but we've all got the same story because we all had that time of being by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Where we weren't actually looking.
Exactly. Where we weren't looking, and then this unexpected, I can tell you, my story is exactly the same. Exactly the same. But we're going to dive into everything that you've just talked about, but I just want to recap a little bit. When you let the relationship or relationships, when you left these, did you, for anyone that's listening or watching the show and is going through this at the moment, did you ever think that you could be happy again? So when you left the relationship and you're coming out of that situation.
But wait a second, there's something a little bit wrong with that statement or question, because you just said, did you ever think you could be happy again? And it was that, not can you be happy again, because we were never happy, but is happiness possible? Not again, because it hadn't.
But did you know that, Sue? Did you know at the time? Because I remember coming out
when
one of my relatives.
No, I knew I wasn't happy. I came out and I'm thinking, what? I mean, is this it? This is it? This is a relationship. I mean, I'm meant to be miserable. There was no happiness in any of the relationships. None of them there was happiness. The one before this one was sort of like acceptance and sort of like maybe a bit of compatibility and we kind of like we got on, whatever. But I mean, I can't say that I was like overly happy. The ones before, I was miserable as hell. Eh? But so, I mean, I didn't come out of them thinking, can I ever be happy again? I kept thinking, God, I mean, I'm just absolutely either I don't deserve it, or I'm just not good for it. I'm just a pain in the ass. You know, nobody's going to live with me. That's it. I mean, I'm not capable.
I absolutely adore the way you reframed that question. I feel like I should pass this over to you, and you can actually present the show. But you're bang on, and I think that's one of the things that come out of it, because you wouldn't be leaving the relationship if you were happy. But I can remember coming out of various relationships and thinking to myself, I'm going to be on single for the rest of my life.
Yes.
Yeah. And associating being single with being unhappy.
Mm-hmm. True.
Yes.
In fact, I feel like I always associated my breakup with almost being born again. I always feel like it's easy to always blame the other person, right? In retrospect, I like to think that maybe my version before wasn't so aware of herself. And the breakup made me aware of myself. And I don't think it's just about the other person also. It's also about me, what I am willing to tolerate, about what I want in another person. So I came out of that thinking that, okay, I'm born again, but I wasn't happy, of course, as you said. Mm. And we associate, unfortunately, romantic relationship with happiness.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection, and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested, so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full. Because nothing should stop you, period.
Mm. It's not always the case, but the truth is, we are humans and we're not meant to be on our own.
But the thing about it is, what worries me about this is, what is happiness in the sense? What are you defining happiness as? Mm-hmm. Is it the passion? Is it the thrill that you have in the beginning stages? Because let's face it, I mean, like, we were with these people for a number of months, years, whatever. So at some point, I believe I was happy, or else I would have left. But what was that happiness? Was it just
the honeymoon phase?
The honeymoon phase where we're swept away, love bombed, and just fed a bunch of things that perhaps weren't true? Or was it just this lust of having someone new in your life who then just faded away into nothing.
I don't think that's happiness. I think that's more sort of the adrenaline, the fun of it, that initial phase where you're always texting each other and you're just, like, you know, sort of like stages. And then happiness is when you go on to the next phase and you sort of like issues maybe or disagreements start between you or differences where you then learn, it doesn't have to be a fight, it can be a discussion, that you can sit and just do nothing and you are relaxed, that you are not afraid to voice an opinion, you're not afraid to make a mistake, you're not afraid to break a glass, you're not, and all of a sudden you start to breathe and you learn. And you have to think. I sometimes we'll be together and I start crying, you know, and I go, she's like, what's wrong now?
but you said something back there that just it made me think of my own experience. You said afraid to break a glass, afraid to breathe, afraid to express yourself. It sounds to me like we've all been in situations which were extremely unhealthy, which is why we're not in them anymore, thank God. But it also leads me nicely, Sarah, you've obviously seen my script, leads us nicely to looking at, did you have a realization or an awakening? You obviously, Sue, have had, of what happened in the previous relationship. Did you come out and realize what you've been subjected to, because we're all listening to you, Sue, and we're all identifying completely with that scenario where you just can't breathe. How long did it take you to work out?
The thing is, though, that you come out, like my the longest relationship I had was 19 years, and I came out of that with zero self-esteem. I went into it with very low self-esteem. I came out of it totally broken and with zero self-esteem. So I came out of it thinking I was worthless, that I didn't deserve to be with somebody. Nobody would want me. Nobody would want to be with me. You know, and so basically I would take anything that came. Just not to be alone. That's how I came out of that 19 years. And then from that, after 2 years, I went into a relationship, the first relationship with a female, and she was fun and whatever. And so all of a sudden I was having fun and I was the alpha, let's say, in that relationship. And, but again, that was kind of dysfunctional in another way, sort of thing. But I thought to myself, well, you know, I mean, it's okay. Sort of like we went through COVID together and we didn't fight or anything. And it was just kind of like quite pleasant, let's say, you know, and I thought that was okay.
Kind of settle.
Yeah, I settled. And then I decided, no, that wasn't right either. And I would rather just be alone. And I was then finally okay with being alone because I was brought up reading those fairy tale stories and Sleeping Beauty and all of this, and reading Mills and Boon books and whatever, and I was waiting to be standing on the patio of some apartment and this guy would just come up from behind me and touch my Gucci blouse, and now that would be
we're fed with these stories and these novels of someone having to swipe you off your feet, you're going to have this amazing relationship. Like, in the beginning, when I met Alex, the randomest thing was that I had peace.
Exactly.
The highs were high, but there weren't any lows. They were just a normal flow, which for me was weird. Coming from such a dysfunctional relationship, yet jumping in the beginning when I was dating, I was jumping into these relationships where people were unavailable yet again. I was like, how is this guy so constant?
Why? But did you do the work before? Did you identify why you were going for these unavailable relationships? Because a lot of women do that,
reality, rather than understanding exactly why. I can understand it nowadays. Yes, through therapy, I understood that from the very beginning, when I was still 18, I had a very narcissistic partner. So I literally had someone distorting my reality of how a relationship should be. So even though I come from a background where my family, my mother and my father were always loving each other, and I had that sort of platform to follow, I still had this person distorting my reality. I used to be fed lies. Mm-hmm. I was still 18. I was a baby. He was much older than me. So I used to look at him as if he had this power on me. Mm-hmm. Whatever he said was the actual truth. When in reality, I just started realizing that he was a cheater. He was a liar. He was after money. And unfortunately, I got used to tolerate those things.
But can I throw something into the middle of the table? And I don't know if you ladies are going to agree. I appreciate that you were 18 and I understand that. But I actually don't think, if we're going to just labor on bad relationships and narcissists for a second, it doesn't matter how old you are.
No, it will.
If you are not aware of the games, if you haven't realized exactly what's going on, it doesn't matter how old you are. I was in a relationship with a narcissist in my 30s, and I couldn't see it until afterwards. I couldn't see what he was doing until afterwards. The gaslighting, the love bombing, and then the torture, and then the disassociation and the isolation.
Back then, we didn't have the resorts that we have today, and that is why I love this podcast. I remember speaking to you about the narcissism podcast, because nowadays there's much more information.
Yeah.
Okay, we cannot just label everyone as being a narcissist.
Absolutely not.
But nowadays, I can actually understand why I am how I am today. Mm. Why I used to be so afraid of good people. Mm-hmm. For me, good people were boring in the beginning.
But you were probably, with all due respect, you were going, you were 18 the same time that I was 30. So we're kind of coming from the same age space. And there wasn't that information available. No. But it's hindsight is a beautiful thing, right? So I'm still trying to get to the... Before we get onto these beautiful new second time, third time, fourth time round, I'm still trying to unpick what the learning is. How you learned. How did you... Because we're going to come in a second to what we walked into these relationships with and the shockers of like, oh my, like you just said, you know, you walk in there and you're wondering where all of the tension is. And you've said as well, Sarah, you've said, you know, I wondered where the peace came from. But before we get there, what was the learning? What was the other learning that you went through? We've all talked about this time of being by ourselves.
Well, I realized that one of the things you miss along the way is loving yourself, basically. And I think certain men literally prey on low self-esteem. They know, they just know that you need this this love, this attention, and they love bomb you. And this is exactly what you need at that time. You need to be loved fast, you know, because you have this thirst for love because you've been denied love for so long that then you find yourself so thirsty for love. And these men, sorry, men, I know all men are like that, okay. But
and women some, can and be women.
Yes,
and
yes,
women.
It's men and women. And yes, they will sense this thirst in you and they will prey on you.
Well, I think my experience is different. My experience is quite different because I was brought up in a very dysfunctional family. So my parents had a very violent and horrible marriage and a lot of fighting and shouting and breaking and whatever. And so that went on and on and on. Then I went into two long-term, one marriage and one very long-term relationship where I had my kids. Then I had another relationship and then I just decided I didn't learn anything. Mm. Learned nothing. I decided that I was just going to be on my own because this wasn't, I mean, I've been in therapy all my life, but I learned nothing about like...
I love how honest she is, but...
No, I mean, you know, I mean, I learned what I did wrong or whatever, but I can't say I learned to go out and meet somebody and go, well, that's a red flag and I'm not going to go for that.
I did.
Like as if, you know. No, I didn't. My learning curve is now. My learning curve is now happening in this new relationship because the only reason why I went in for this relationship is simply because I had met her when I was 14, had a huge crush and carried on with that interest in her for all these years. And I think it was more out of curiosity than anything else. Why she came into it, I don't know, because I mean, she was just confirmed to be a single and whatever. And the learning curve has started from the day we started
dating.
Totally
agree.
Now I'm learning. Now I'm learning what I did wrong. Now I'm learning what I accepted. And I'm learning with her because she loves me in a way that I don't know. I'm free. I'm free and I learn every day.
I love that.
I love now that smile on your face. I love that smile on your face. I've known you a long time, Sue, and I know that smile is not something I've seen before. Mm. And I love that. And you've spoken about other people before with such affection. And there does seem to be a
different aura.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But you were talking about...
I've even thinking about her. I get all hot.
He's so cute.
You remember when I was on the show, I didn't cry a single bit. And we spoke about the toughest things.
Yeah.
But somehow, when you're speaking about someone that touches you, that touches your heart in such a different way, mm-hmm. you somehow feel all this gratitude.
Exactly.
And I don't even know how to explain it. It's gratitude. Yes. It's like knowing that I am finally happy. True. I am finally accepted for who I am. And I was going to tell you before when Sue was speaking, my learning curve was when I actually landed on yet another relationship after my mm-hmm. divorce, before Alex. And I literally found myself reliving the same life Mm-mm. in a span of 2 months. Mm. So then I realized, I'm like, listen, this is a pattern. You are just dating the same exact person that you had in your marriage and in your previous relationships, the same exact autonomy, just in a different body. So that means that you need to get out because history is just going to repeat itself.
Did you have that moment? Did you have a moment of realization? Because
let me
interject a second, because I kind of had a mix of both of these situations, in that I had been on my own for a while but I was pursuing somebody who was extremely unavailable and that was really giving me a ridiculous narcissistic kind of framework around this involvement with this person. It was just bonkers and horrible, awfully horrible. And a friend of mine said, read this book. And I put off reading the book. I've mentioned the book so many times. If you find yourself wanting to be enlightened, go and read this book. Robin Norwood, Women Who Love Too Much. It's absolutely a life changer, a game changer. And it was for me. But so I had that epiphany moment, but I also didn't start learning how to be in another relationship until I was in another relationship. And
that for sure. Okay. No, that for sure. I still have challenges till today. And we've been together for a year and a half. And we still kind of come across things that, to be honest with you, and this is something we joke about. I tell Alex, I feel that I am married to you, even though we're not married, mm-hmm. more than I was in my previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this time the relationship is something holistic. Mm. It's not about liking you physically. It's about you knowing all the things that I've been through, me being vulnerable about certain things, and you accepting me exactly the way I am.
Mm.
And you, as in like you meaning Alex, him kind of like supporting me through what I go through, even mentally. Like I'm not 100% always jolly, always happy and all these things. And I know for a fact that on days mm-hmm. I'm going, because there's this notion that a relationship is always 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
I have days where I can only give you my 20%. So he needs to make up for the rest on that particular day. Then I know that if he's going to have a hell of a week, a very stressful time at work, all hell's breaking loose, he's going to come back home maybe with 5%. Mm-hmm. And I'm still going to have only that 20%. And together we're going to come across a lot of challenges because I'm stressed, you're stressed, but we're working it together. And before you said, you mentioned something, or Sue mentioned it actually, the fact that you can actually speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I was afraid to rock the boat, thinking that this relationship will just vanish. Why? Because other people literally up and left. Whereas now I know that I can speak. I can actually voice things, and that is where my self-growth came as well. I now know how to tackle things. Maybe before, since I was younger, I used to just start barking like a little chihuahua. So that again is where
I've got visions of Sarah the chihuahua.
But when you said that you kind of take responsibility of you not being perfect, yes, as well, I know that I maybe had my share as well
mm-hmm.
on why previous relationships didn't work. Maybe it was my anxiousness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was in return of what was happening to me, I was flying off the hook completely. Mm-hmm. So
I think you just raise a really interesting point, because I as you mentioned before, we have to take responsibility for our own actions and how we are in relationships. And even if you give it your all, you're not perfect. But there is a level where you don't deserve what you get. Where even if you are imperfect, as we all are, there's a level of abandonment, abuse, neglect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that mm-hmm. is not okay.
Control, mm-hmm. that is just not okay. And I want to be clear about that, because I think I don't know about anybody else, but I've come out of most of my relationships, even the most abusive situations, saying, what did I do wrong?
Exactly. Yes.
Always, exactly. And it's that's a bad habit that I have. Even the now, first thing that comes to I turn head. Around to my husband. I'm like, have I done something wrong? Are you angry with me?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah,
so
yeah,
used I to do, walking on eggshells all the time.
That's trauma.
I'm so glad somebody else said yes.
Have I upset you? Have I done something? Yes, have I yes. said something?
Constantly
did I do
checking
something?
Whether you've hurt people's feelings. Mm-hmm. I do it not just with my partner, but I do it with everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's obviously it's trauma, I guess. It's scars that people leave behind, and because we all have.
I think as well, after all of the relationships that I had, and then especially the previous one to this, what I did learn is that I do bring a lot to the table.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I learned that. That I did learn. I learned that I am worth having in someone's life.
I'm learning it, yeah.
But there would be, I thought to myself, there isn't going to be anybody that deserves me. Nobody deserves what I can bring to the table. Until then, I met somebody that deserves everything I can bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And for the first time now, I don't spend the day thinking, what is she going to do to make me happy? Or what am I going to do to make her happy? How can I make her life easier? So she is the focus of my thing. So what can I do to make it better for her? How can I help? How can I do it? How can I? And that is where I don't think about myself. And I find that then automatically, she's always thinking about
exactly.
me.
Exactly,
what can she do to help
you're
me?
What love.
Can
because she do? Because you love it. Yes, yes.
Without me, because before I was always like, you know, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to give me? It's sort of like this kind of, you know, I don't know.
That now you feel comfortable doing everything for her because you know somehow yeah. it's a total
and
give
she,
and take.
She does it. She does it for me. Like
it's effortless.
Yes, and. Like she tells me nearly every day, Madonna, as if I ever thought that I would be with somebody and that it would be you with Sukar, one of all people, this person that she thought was this real pain in the ass and whatever, you know. She said, as if I ever thought that I would be feeling like this for this person.
But I think that's the beauty of it. As in, like, I can understand what Sue is saying. Like, for me, for example, I actually pack my stuff every weekend just to be with Alex, because Alex lives in Godo. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had to mesh my life with his in order for us to actually...
I won't tell you what we do.
Go back and forth. Because you have Sicily, eh? So you
no, I mean, Sicily, I haven't been up to Sicily in about 2.5 months, 3 months, because I'm always here, because she can't leave. But we have two households. Mm-hmm. So we have mine and hers. And because she has cats, I can't stay with her because my dog doesn't like cats. So we literally spend every day going ping-ponging from one house to the other. So we
okay,
go to see her animals.
I have someone understanding
mine,
me.
Then where are we sleeping? Are we sleeping here? Then are we looking at your dogs on the camera? Are we looking at my dog on the camera? Or shall we go to yours until 10 and then we go to mine after that? And so we ping pong every day. It's back and
work,
forth.
Yes.
Back
but
and
that's,
forth.
That is the beauty of it. And I know that I am giving in my input freely. No one's forcing me to do it. I do it because I want to do it.
That's the thing.
And then in return, I know that he's going to complement whatever I do in a different way by taking care of Sam, by, for example, it's a silly thing to say, but for me, it means the world.
Yes.
Even if I know that he's so busy with all his work and stuff and meetings and all, he would actually find an hour and he'll tell me, are you free for coffee? I have a free slot. Can we meet now? and he will actually make time. So for me, I say, okay, so
she does that to me too. She sends me a text and she tells me, have you got a gap to meet for coffee? And I run out of the salon and the girls are all like, hey, me.
But for me, for example, that is something new. Why? Yes. Because before, no. I used to kind of beg for attention. Right. I used to kind of need to be validated even in my profession. For example, I don't know, this podcast, anything I do on social media, Alex will be the number one person to tell me, yes, I'll go for it. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I used to be turned down and be like, huh, you're posting recipes, what for?
Right.
This time round, he
I'll come to there.
And like in my case, for example, Madonna. Since we're both very media, like into it a lot, and you would assume that automatically there's going to be competition. And in the beginning, I used to be very afraid of this because I'm like, will you try and dim my light? Whereas no, if you find the right person, he's just going to help you and push you forward.
Let's stay with that for a second, because I think it's worth mentioning. You just mentioned fears there. You said you were afraid that he would be competitive. Was there anything else that you guys were frightened of when you went into...
Everything? That's the problem, I think, of going through a separation, and especially if you have a very complicated divorce or separation, because you are carrying extra baggage. Yes. That unfortunately has to stay out. Not unfortunately, fortunately actually, because one of the things that I used to struggle with initially was I was still getting upset about things that were still happening, even though I was separated. Why? Because everything is new, because finally I had a partner in my life. So certain things were coming up. And it was the first time around that I'm actually dealing with these things. Why? Because like we said, we're still learning into this new relationship. I am no longer dating someone. I now have this person in my life 24/7, plus my extra baggage.
Well, let me give you a for instance, and then see if this resonates or if you have an equivalent. I can remember when I started dating my now husband, and we were very respectful of the situation that he was coming from. So I wasn't public. I mean, I was on radio at the time. I was a drive time DJ on XFM, and people knew who I was, and I was driving around with a car with all the branding on it, for goodness sake, so they knew who I was. And we had already moved in together by the time I actually was public and said, I'm with this person. Now, I'm not going to go into the details, but a sequence of events meant that that was not acknowledged on his side. And I had a massive fear of being hidden, of not being acknowledged, of not being the person that he would be publicly happy to. This harks back to a relationship I'd had before where for about 18 months, nobody knew. I wasn't allowed to say, and he certainly wasn't going to say. And I had this real hang up, this real insecurity. And when it came to a head, I lost my shit. Lord, I would love to say that I didn't. Sorry for the swearing, but there's no other way of putting it. When it was not addressed and it didn't turn out how I wanted it to, how I hoped it would, how I believed it should have done, I was not just triggered and gaslit. We had a whole flipping, you know, massive explosion going on because it hit my painful point. So I guess that's what I'm just being really honest about. Have there been other things that you've just like, Steph is like...
Okay, so at the beginning, we had a long distance relationship, right? I met my partner when he had a contract for a few months abroad, so he had to do it. So I used to visit like every month or whatever. And then one of the trips, I remember, obviously, it was still new. So you don't post pictures with your whoever you're dating, you know. And I never, since I've ended my marriage, I've never actually posted any photo of any guy on my social media, ever. And I remember Alex saying, would you like to, I'm going to post this picture. Should I tag you? And I was like, are you going to tag me? We're going to post the picture. And I was like, felt so new to me. And I was like, it filled me with kind of, you know, this kind of teenage happiness, you know, because being acknowledged publicly is a commitment. I mean, for me, it was, you know, so I was like, And I know exactly what you mean. Yes, because if you're not being acknowledged publicly is also a form of rejection, right? If you
think about it. It's a form of control. It's a form of all sorts of horrible things.
And he just came, out of the, no problem. He seemed so chill about, I'm going to post this picture. I'm going to tag you. And, I'm going to post a heart and stuff like that. Okay.
And I was like, that's it, we're engaged.
The historic wine of Ferrari. Ferrari Brut is a white wine that is tasty, robust, crisp, and delivers everything you want in a refreshing, sparkling wine. A fresh, intense bouquet with a broad, fruity note of ripe, golden, delicious apples, white flowers, and a delicate scent of yeast deriving from 20 months aging in a bottle. There really isn't any other white wine that you would want to celebrate with. Make that conversation just a bit more special by indulging in something delicious. Go on, you deserve it. Many thanks to What's in Your Glass, brought to you by M&Z Wines.
This whole new realization of
this thing with social media, it's like when you are a thing, you are on social media.
Right.
I was very into social media and on social media, whatever, and everything. I used to put up everything. She's on social media, but private about her private life and whatever. For example, we don't put up photos together much or whatever. And at the beginning, I thought, this is book. Is she embarrassed to be? She doesn't want to say that sort of we're together or why? But she, although she is very much on social media as well, she doesn't have the same thought about social media. She doesn't need to put up what she's doing on social media, her private life, whatever. Whereas I had that, not need, but I got used to doing it, So for me, it was normal. We take a selfie
it's also
together
a form
and we
of
put
validation.
It up.
But
I then respected her opinion, sort of towards social media. But for example, when we first started dating, one of the things she told me was, listen, there are no displays of affection in public. And I was like, listen. I display affection in public, and if you don't like it. So in public, we are affectionate. I mean, we hold hands with her. So for her, that is a huge thing.
Yes.
So she has given a lot on that front. And I am silent kind of on social media,
Give and take. Because
I'm happy. If outside she didn't want to hold my hand, she didn't want to sit near me, she didn't want to hug me, whatever.
I agree. Fully agree.
Hello.
But that's kind of old school social media, isn't it? It's still being seen together.
And
but
of course, we are old school because I'm 55, she's 60. So we are kind of old school as
not
well.
Not far behind you. I was a bit like you, though, because my husband was not particularly affectionate publicly. And I can remember, I still do it, actually. I stand still in the middle of a supermarket and I'm like, I'm not moving. I am not leaving the cheese aisle until you kiss me, and it better be a good one.
I love PDAs. I love PDAs. There's something for me it's non-negotiable now. I used to negotiate with that, but nowadays PDAs are a must in a relationship.
Used
for me,
to in your past?
I used to let people, I had relationships where they were totally against PDAs and I was like, oh, yes, yes.
Public displays of affection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Just for anyone that didn't know what we're talking about. It's an old school term, I think, isn't it?
And now I realize just how much I need it. I love it. And yes, for me now, they're non-negotiable.
My case, I have to set an example as well for Sam. I always keep Sam in mind. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't see us two as two people loving each other,
we hug him, he comes in for a hug, he sees us kissing. Because when we were young, for example, these things were kind of like a bit
taboo.
Yes. Like I barely or very few times when I was young, I can actually remember my mom and my dad kissing in front of us because it was a bit...
Never saw them touching each other. kissing.
Nowadays, for example, they're more comfortable. So for us, it's a display of affection. Whereas with Sam, for example, he hears me tell Alex before he's leaving, I love you. And he's actually picking up on that.
True.
So I am actually teaching my child what a healthy relationship really looks like. Not someone just... And that's it. Or sitting at a table. Like, I love affection. I love being romantic, even though it sounds cheesy, but I love being romantic. And that is the beauty of it.
So let me ask you, each of you, if you had to pinpoint three things that are new or different in this love that you're in at right now, this second time, third time, fourth time round, that you haven't experienced before. If you had to choose three things, if you could point, because you already mentioned peace. Go on, go far away.
I think I have more than three.
I'm going to limit you to five.
Okay. It's peace of mind. It's knowing that I am supported, not in a financial way, because people automatically just assume that support means financial. Mm-hmm. Supported meaning if I am having a very bad day.
Emotionally.
He can help me with Sam. He can help me with the house stuff. He can help me with anything, even when it comes to my career. You know, like I actually went through a career change while being with Alex. I had a span where I was without a job. I was actually without a job. Mm-hmm. And it was scary for me. And having him to support me in the manner that he was telling me, Sa, you need this change. So I am here with you. There's nothing to panic about. Mm-hmm. I'm sure things are going to be just fine. Whereas we have someone who is also panicking usually and will actually try to turn you down and make you stick to something that you're not enjoying at the moment because he's going to have the financial burden, for example. It's something different.
No, the support is incredibly important. So your number one was?
Peace of mind.
Number two was support.
Is support. Three, I think, would be the sense of belonging. Mm. I don't know how to explain this, but it's like I've known this person for my whole life.
She's laughing because she has.
But the funny thing is, we actually say this, like, I wish I met you sooner.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But the thing is, in saying that, I even tell him, Alex, if we met sooner...
You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready. Exactly. No. I was still...
Sometimes
crazy girl,
you say that
just
as
chasing,
well, and I say this
these
was,
dreams.
Mm-hmm. Or our time is now. This is we're meeting at the time we were meant to meet.
Because we are the people that we are who we are now because of what we went through.
Exactly. Before, if we had met before, it would have been, I think, a disaster. We're meeting now because we were both ready for it. I always tell her we were meant to be. Mm-hmm. But we were meant to be now. Not
exactly.
10 years ago, not 5 years ago. For me, the three things that this has brought is no fear, which is a huge thing.
No fear of what? I'm just going to interject this. Sarah, we'll come back to the other two.
No problem.
You've had your three, so...
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to be me. I'm not afraid to... I mean, I'm not, you know, if I'm not afraid to bump into something or, I don't know, be clumsy or drop something, you know what I mean? There isn't that fear. Before there was that fear. I'm not afraid to say something stupid. I'm not afraid to be down. I'm not afraid to say, listen, you know, because I suffer from depression. So sort of if I feel myself sliding, I'm not trying to hide it.
Can I ask you something personal? You don't have to answer this, but you, as you're talking, you made me think of one of the things that I think is so fundamentally different for me. You just mentioned about depression. I'm less afraid. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm less afraid.
Less afraid.
To be the worst version of myself.
Mm-hmm. She's seen the, I mean, I think about maybe 3 weeks into it, I had a small bout because it's such a it's such a mind fuck, you know, as well, to really, I mean, to all of a sudden be in a relationship, which is good. You're not playing games.
Exactly.
You're not, she answers the message when I message her. She picks up the phone.
We're all sitting there going.
She picks up the phone when I call.
Exactly.
If I'm feeling down, she'll answer me. You know, it's not this. There are no games.
No
there
chasing.
Are no games, you know?
I know.
I mean, it plays with your head. You're like, I mean, yes. There's something wrong.
Yes.
There's something wrong. So yeah, so it's the fear. For me, it's the no fear. Realizing that I'm not some asexual frigid person, because I thought I was that as well. I mean, I'm not. I'm the complete opposite, actually. I found my inner...
Sorry, I feel like that also deserves a cheers, because that's... cheers to Sue's inner...
Like I used to, you know, sort of like when people would say, you know, Emma and I really enjoy sex. I was like, oh, God, for God's sake. I mean, like, it's just so overrated and whatever. No. It's not overrated when it's with the right person, and so anyway, I won't go into that, because obviously if my children hear anything.
So you have number three, moving swiftly on,
and number three would be, I don't know. I mean, apart from me going to work on my own, other than that, we do everything together.
Mm-hmm.
Everything together. She never pisses me off. She doesn't annoy me. I'm never fed up. I never think, God, I really wanted to go, or I really need to go home or be on my own or anything like that. I just want to be with her all the time. Even coming here today, I thought it's right. Taking away. I mean, tonight.
Yeah.
Normally,
what?
I would.
What? No, you, I love neither of you here. Wanted to no, come no, to no. This show.
I love being here, but I also love going home.
Yeah.
This feeling. I'm
like, now like, I yes. Wonder what time it's going
you
to end.
You hate being away from home for that
because
reason. Yes.
I'm going to see. I'm going to see her late today. Right. And maybe I shouldn't have accepted. I should.
Okay,
have
ladies
come
and gentlemen. Well, ladies, that's the end of the show, because Sue needs to go home
to, go back.
To have a good shag, I think, is the answer to that. I'm not wrong. That's what she's sitting there thinking. You've had your three. I like your three. Coming to you.
I have more than three.
Lord, not again.
No fear. I'm with the no fear, because I've developed a whole lot of anxiety around relationships. And I've always been very scared to show this anxiety, because I always thought it was lame. You know, being anxious, and because modern society teaches you to be strong, independent, and so I'm very comfortable with showing my anxiety. Sometimes I'm needy, and I have no problem showing him how needy I am. I get needy sometimes because I became very insecure along the way. So I have no problem showing him how insecure, and he's okay with it. The support, of course, I have two kids, and you know, I come with a bit of a package. It's not for everyone, and it takes. A great man to love his kids, but I think it takes a greater man to love someone else's kids, because it's a challenge. And he does. I mean, right now, I would not be here.
Can I stop you? And just, that was really good. For anyone that just didn't catch that, you said it takes a great man to love his kids, but a greater man to love someone else's. Yeah. And it was one of the conversations that I was going to come to about how that looks with kids. In a second, but I just wanted to reiterate that, because sometimes we get these like golden nuggets that drop on the table, and that is one of them. I love that. Kudos.
Which brings me to my third one. Ooh. And I feel more of a woman, and not in the sexual way. Along these years, months, or whatever I've been with Alex, I've become more of a woman, in the sense that I'm okay with accepting help. I'm okay with... Right?
Oh, right? My gosh.
I'm okay with being a bit weaker sometimes, as in weaker sex. Not in a sense of weakness, but yes, I'm a woman, and I need you to do some stuff for me sometimes, like, you know, the gas thing, which I can do by myself, by the way. But
no,
it's nice. It's refreshing. It's the sense of relief that... just you okay, literally you, sink let, into this feminine energy.
That let you, me ask you this, because we all just reacted massively to that. And I know that that's something that has been a new experience for me, because for me, for sure. I would be the one, and I'm still learning this, I would be the one that would carry the gas tank. Right. I would be the one that would do it. And I, where does that come from? Is that just because you don't want to have to rely on someone else? Or is that, what is
because
that?
You're this independent yes. person that you know, you know that asking for help is going to be like you're going to get some negative, like
because
you know,
life, so life so gives you no choice, right?
You do it yourself. You do it yourself. It's easier to do it yourself. You learn to become so independent, not to depend on him, her, for anything.
Because the people you along the way, they're not dependable.
Yourself.
That's why.
You do it yourself. Because then it will be like, but I helped you with this, or I did it. You get it thrown back. So your weaknesses, whether they are physical or emotional, whatever, mm-hmm. at some point or other, they're going to get thrown back at you.
Exactly.
So you don't show it.
Exactly.
So you do everything yourself, and you become this, you know,
super hyper independent.
Yeah, and then you have to learn to actually ask for help, and it's okay.
We had a show. I just want to throw this one in because I was thinking about this whilst each of you speaking, and we'll come back to these different elements in a second. I want to come to this kids thing in a moment as well, but I want to go back to something that was said on a show that we had a couple of weeks ago, and the show was called Women Transforming the Negative into the Positive. Mm-hmm. And it was said at the table, and it described me so perfectly, and this is something I really struggle with, that I would be the person who wouldn't want to put on to my husband, I can't cope. I'm having a day where I literally can't cope, but I don't want him
to burden him.
To have to, I want to have yes. to ask him to do anything. But then I harbor all this resentment because exactly. I'm doing it myself.
Oh, dependency.
So I have to learn to say, hun, you know what? I did it last night. Hun, I'm working until 11 o'clock tonight. Is there any chance that you can cook?
Exactly.
And then I turn around and I go, no, forget it. It's okay. I'll find a way. And then I'm angry at myself because I actually negated that. And he's just like, just ask me to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask me. And I caught myself. He said to me, let me know what you want me to buy on the way home from the supermarket. Mm-hmm. And I was angry with him that he couldn't think for himself. And then I said, no, Trudes, you are getting wound up mm-hmm. in this. He just asked you, what do we need to get from the supermarket?
Exactly. To help you.
To help. And I'm, the minute that you said about this helping and the opening a car door or driving,
carrying the water.
I'm actually a better driver than my husband. He will admit that. So we struggle for that in different reasons. But yes, carrying the water or something like that. And we all just went, oh. But haven't we all in the past had been given a hard time for needing help?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, we see, the thing is, even society, I mean, here in Malta, I mean, I don't know, but I was also brought up in the way, like, I've always seen my mom do everything. Nothing wrong with that, but it's a cycle. You find it very hard to break. I mean, I have a very, very strong mom. I mean, she does pretty much everything. And I've always seen her growing up being the man, the woman, every kind of person. And yeah, she done it all. So I was brought up thinking that, you know, that's how you have to be. And yes, and it's funny that we're saying this. Sometimes my partner would say, man down. Man, because he's man down. He says it. It's funny. He's going to be laughing right now. Man down.
Man down.
Because at the beginning of our relationship, I was this very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you're physically strong as
yes,
well.
Also. Yes, also.
And we've also got...
So I have no problem carrying the water. And it's not about me carrying the water. It's about the gesture of having someone doing it for you, knowing full well that you can do it by yourself. But they're there for you to, you know.
Sue said something right at the very beginning about being an alpha. And I would say that there's probably quite a lot of alpha at the table.
Yes.
And that idea of manning down... I love that phrase. That is so cool. I really like that. I'm not sure that feminists would agree, but we'll just move on. I want to come to a question of unless anybody else has Sarah's looking at me.
No, because I was actually going to kind of pinpoint something that is from the male perspective. So for example, I cook a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always cooking. I'm always looking into what everyone's eating, preparing for everyone. There are days when I'm exhausted. Like this week was a jam-packed week full of filming. And when Alex tells me, you know what, I'm just going to the supermarket, I'll just grab a piece of meat. I'm like, why are you going to do that? Then I'm like, Sai, you should be thankful. He's going to cook. Yeah. So, if anything, I learned along the way how to let him.
Exactly.
Whereas before, I used to have this kind of
on
control.
On those days, we eat boiled eggs and toast because she hates to cook.
Actually, Alex knows how to cook. And before, this used to be my running joke. So I used to tell him, you cook for me? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it will happen. Whereas nowadays, it's actually a way of us relaxing together. Mm-hmm. Because he gets to feel that he's involved. He's helping me out.
In care of you also.
In some way, shape or form. And for me, I can actually sit on the sofa and do jack shit.
Right. Right.
For once, I'm just not attuned to what you need, what do you want, what am I
and
going to do
for you?
And
without the sense of guilt.
Exactly.
Which, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think women are very good at this. Huh? We really know how to feel guilty.
Even, for example, she doesn't like to cook. I like to cook. When I'm cooking, she's tidying up and cleaning and whatever. So the kitchen is always clean and I'm cooking. So we work well as a team. But before, in previous relationships, let's say, if I was cooking and my partner was sitting on the sofa doing nothing, I was like a demon.
You get resentment, yes.
Like a demon. I was like a bat out of hell in the kitchen. And
but
I
obviously it came from something else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that would be the tipping point of you actually blowing up.
If I'm cooking and she is sitting, I'm fine. Sometimes I look over and I think, why isn't that pissing me off? You know? Why isn't it annoying me that she's not doing something? That maybe she's sitting on the sofa like, it should be annoying me.
does it not annoy you? And I think this is kind of a lesson maybe for every woman and maybe even men. But does it not annoy you because you know that if you asked, she would?
Exactly.
No, it doesn't annoy me because she... she gives in so many other ways that I don't feel that I'm sort of like some slave, or I don't feel that I'm, you know, this, I have to do it. I don't have to do anything. If I don't want to, I don't have to do anything. We can get a takeaway. We can not cook at all. We can have eggs on toast. For her, it's not a problem. It's a bonus that I cook. But if I don't cook, it's not a problem. So I don't have to do anything. So nothing is grudgingly done. You know, before it was sort of like... I can't even explain it.
It's a chore.
And yeah. I could have gotten the book.
You know, like, slightly this way, Sarah.
I mean, I have to go and cook again and I'm slamming and putting everything into the dishwasher. Now, when I go over, I mean, straight away, I open up the dishwasher, I take things out, I put them away. But I don't do it in an angry way or frustrated or anything like that. I'm really happy to do it. And she tells me, leave it. Let it be. And I go, no, yeah, let's do it, you know. Because she's doing something. I'm doing something else. And, you know, so that way we're going to be able to sit on the sofa and watch an episode together quicker if we're both doing it. You know, yeah, let's get it done. You know, I'm helping you, you're helping me. When she comes to my house, she helps me. So we have that time together quicker, you know.
I'm going to change the topic completely for a second, because I'm very mindful that there's two people at the table that just want to get home to their partners.
Mine's in Parliament. You can have all night.
Mine's hopefully cooking. But I want to just throw onto the table, because I think this would be you mentioned it, Steph, yourself, and I think you've mentioned it before, Sarah, that one of the concerns would be children. Mm-hmm. So you have two children who are grown up, but they still are part of you and your family. So when you went into your second time round, third time, fourth time, was that a consideration? Was that a really big deal? How did you navigate that? And did it end up successfully?
Well, for me, she has a child
okay.
who has three children.
Oh, wow.
And one of them, the eldest child, she brought up. So she brought him up as her own. I mean, she's Nanna, but she brought him up, and he's now 17 and whatever. So she has children and family, and I had my children. And for her, for example, the children are very important. So we can break any appointment. We can break any time that That's we've true. Set for anything for the children. The children come first. Her children, my children, whatever. So that...
And the children get on with you and you, your children get on with her. And has there been that dynamic to mix that up?
They haven't really met a lot together. I mean, that still has is yet to come. I mean, we're still quite new into the... I mean, okay, it's been 5 months, but I feel like it's been 5 years. And mm-hmm. in her time, five mm-hmm. months, we say we've been 10 years together. Mm-hmm. Every 2 weeks in my time is 1 year in her time.
So cute.
So we're 10 years together. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary, mm-hmm. but 5 months in my time. But so the children... My daughter has seen a lot of her and knows her a lot. Her daughter is older, so we still haven't sort of like had the family dynamic meshed together yet, as such. But it's coming. I mean,
well, in which case, let me ask these ladies mm-hmm. because you have
mine's
young,
totally yeah. different.
Younger. Okay, I'm getting lots of nods. Go for it.
In my case, obviously, Sam is still 4 years old, so Alex is practically bringing up Sam with
exactly.
me. So if it's dressing him up, if it's taking him to school at times, because we drive down from Gozo, and Sam will actually want to drive down with him than with me,
right.
which is baffling, which baffles you, because he is loving this man as if he's his own dad.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, for example, that was one of my biggest fears. Like, what am I going to do when I actually meet a partner that I like? How will these things evolve? So that used to be at the back of my mind. In fact, I remember when I met Alex in the beginning, I was very, very strict. I used to tell him, you know what? My son comes first. I was a bit of a bitch in the beginning. Yeah. Not a bitch, but I had my standards. So my standard was that Sam will always come first. So if you're not going to make it on time, I will not wait for you. Why? Because I have my son at home. I will not just move away
time
my son
precious, yes, I know.
Just for you to be late, for example. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that is where I say that we grow together. For example, Alex having such a packed schedule, it's normal for him to run late. And at times he is late. But nowadays he adapted to the fact that if I tell Sam that that Alex is coming, he knows that he'll be eagerly waiting for him behind the door. And as soon as he comes in, he flies over to him. So he knows that if he comes late, there's the repercussion that Sam is going to get upset.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're kind of forming this family unit for my son, which is everything I've ever wanted. And that is where, that is where all this...
Okay, all three of you want to go home, obviously. I love that. I love that.
Nice.
I really love that accommodation as well. And making allowances for the scenarios. And it comes back to what you said, Steph, which is, I'm going to drop this bomb again. It takes a great man to love his children. It takes a greater man to love someone else's. And that also applies to women as well. I think, you know, you've got to bear that in mind, that it takes a great woman to love her children and it takes a great woman to love someone else's children, because it's the same. It goes either way.
Place, for mm-hmm. sure.
But for you, you have two.
I have two kids.
And how
okay.
old are they?
Okay, I have a 6-year-old going to be 7, who's also autistic. So I bring a bit more of a, you know, I always had this fear because, you know, being autistic, she's, you know, she has her challenges.
Yeah.
So she's going to be 7. And I have a 10-year-old with all her opinionated attitude, going to be 11. And I was a bit naive at the beginning, because I didn't go into this relationship thinking that, oh, I have two kids, it's going to be a problem. And I was right, because it was not. But, you know, for some reason, I just thought it was going to work straight away. I don't know why. Many people said, oh, but, like, even my mom at first said, oh, aren't you rushing and stuff like that? But the thing is, and I think Sarah will relate, when you have two kids, how many months you're just going to date and not introduce your kids to this man? Because the thing is, your kids are so much a part of your life. Mm-hmm. So at one point, you have to, like, maybe for some people, it might seem like a fast pace. But at one point, I found myself like, literally, of course, you're going to have to meet my kids. Of course, you're going to have to sleep over when my kids are there. So, yes. And somehow, I found him almost being more patient than I am with them. From like being totally patient with my younger child who comes with her own challenges. He goes and reads and looks for information on how to calm her down. Sometimes he sends me screenshots. Oh, you see what I put on TV? Look, this calms her down. I was like,
you're like, I'm learning from this man.
Yes.
But this is interesting. You just mentioned this time frame. And I think for anybody who's embarking on a second time round, that there is, I don't believe that there's one set
rule.
I know that I had been dating and then living with my now husband before I met his daughter. He had a grown-up daughter. She was late teens by the time, you know, I got to meet her. And we had been together for almost a year. And I wasn't in any rush to meet her. And she wasn't in any rush to meet me. And it wasn't that we were avoiding each other. She actually had left the country by the time, you know, maybe it was before she left the country. But it was just, it needed to be natural. It needed to be at that point mm-hmm. in time. But was there a moment where you said, okay, it's not going to be for 6 months. It's not going to be for a year. It's not going to be for this.
I did very early, to be honest. Ooh. And the reason I didn't do it and I say, oh, this is my boyfriend. No. The truth is I met my partner through my dad. He was my dad's friend kind of thing. And so my kids knew him as my friend because he was also my friend at the beginning. So at the beginning, I introduced him as a friend. But, you know, my 11-year-old... soon to be 11-year-old. She's not an idiot. I mean,
she sussed it out.
Her eyes are
friend,
you know,
with benefits.
so yes, and so they knew him. Now, of course, I mean, about maybe 6 months, 7 months in, when you start to come around the house, and then he never left.
And for you?
For me, it was more of a progressive kind mm-hmm. of thing, because obviously Sam being so young, he was still very moldable, still hasn't got an idea of who's who. But obviously it was also something that we spoke about. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know how he would feel if I had to introduce Sam, for example. And he was always very open about it, because these are discussions as well, that being in the second time round, you have to kind of identify and see where your values meet. So for me, for example, family is the number one thing. It's my number one priority. It always was, and it will always be. And for Alex as well, I could see how much he values his family with how he treats his mom. Mm,
exactly.
He makes sure that he goes to visit her very often. They're very much in touch. They speak every day. So I'm like, this guy has my same values. So that means that if I do let him meet Sam, because obviously one of the biggest things that you have as a mother, especially when you know that you failed the first time around, is what if I actually introduce this guy to my child and things fall apart? How will that affect my child as well? It's not only about me now, it's about Sam as well. So that was always at the back of my mind. But slowly, slowly, when I started getting reassurance that this man is accountable, mm-hmm. that this man really wants to be there because he wants to be there, not to kind of like sweep me off my feet and just, you know, like charm me to get in bed with me. Mm-hmm. He really wants to be there because enough time passed for me to know who this person is mm-hmm. and how he's passionate about family. Mm-hmm. And even maybe going forward, growing our own family, because mm-hmm. that's another thing. Like, that is something that perhaps a lot of people are afraid of. Because what if it happens again? And all these thoughts in the beginning used to just rush into my head. And the one thing that used to calm me is him being true to who he is. So if it's, for example, me having an anxiety about messages coming in, why? Because I've been through it. I've been through the whole thing of getting to know about someone else behind my back. Mm-hmm. He tried to calm me down by telling me, "Sa, open my phone. This is my password." Mm. I'm like,
exactly. Which I forgot, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
No, all these things gave me enough leeway for me to trust this person. And I think trust is the biggest thing when it came to actually introducing Sam to him.
I'm going to jump on something you said a second ago, and just whilst I'm jumping on this with Sarah, I'm going to get you guys to think about something. I've got two more questions. Mm-hmm. The last question is advice that you would give to anybody who's embarking on a round two. And before we get there, I'm going to ask you if you've got any regrets, but I'm going to jump onto something you just said. You said back there, and I'm very, very key from this show, I'm very key to think about the language that we use. You said when you failed first time round, it failed.
It failed.
And I feel like there's a lot of this at the table where we still take upon ourselves the responsibility of failure, even if it wasn't our fault or even if it wasn't majoritively our fault. And I think we carry that into our next relationship. And I just, when you said it, I just was like...
But then I have another mindset to that. What if my failed marriage actually gave me the key to the life that I always wanted?
Sure. I do not disagree with that, but I just also want to just because for me it's really key about the language that we use.
I think that without the failures you don't have the successes
that you have today.
But when you say I failed, for me I failed because I stayed too long, not because the relationship was that, but because I accepted I failed, because I did the mistake again, I failed. So those are not something that I can blame somebody else for, because it's not his fault that I stayed. It's not his fault that I accepted. I enabled, I accepted, I settled for less, and for that I failed. Because I shouldn't have. I knew that it wasn't right. I knew I wasn't happy. I should have had the courage to leave. So in that aspect, it wasn't my fault that the relationship sucked, but it was my fault that I stayed.
I love how she puts it.
I mean, for example, another thing is I love listening to Judge Judy, because I listen to her every day, you know, and she says a lot of sense or whatever. But for example, you know, when we split up and we're talking about the kids, I mean, my kids are older now, so I'm in a different phase to you. But going when they were younger, you know, you say, because the father and his father, we were like your father and you're like this and you're like that. Well, you know, I picked him. It was my choice to have a child. It's now live with the consequences.
That's such a Judge Judy thing.
It is.
Judge Judy.
But you know, she, listening to her saying that, and she says it so many times in so many of her cases, you know, well, you picked him, you know, I mean, and yeah, I mean, I picked him. That's where I failed. Now I have to live with the consequences of that.
So this leads me very nicely onto the penultimate question. Regret. Very, very short question. Any regrets? Is it that you stayed too long in previous relationships?
My regret is that I spent 19 years with this person that made me so unhappy. That's my regret. My regret is that I didn't have the courage to leave, that I didn't believe that I had anything worthwhile giving to anyone. That's my regret. But... I also believe that the relationship I'm in now is the relationship of my life, that this is the relationship that was meant for me, and that this is now is the time for it, that it wouldn't have happened before.
Yeah.
So I don't have regret I have regret and I don't. I believe that was sort of like the passage my life was meant to take, and it led me up to where I am now. And that was how my story was meant to be. I wish it had taken a little bit shorter. But very that short. Was how my passage
I hear you
was
on that
meant.
One. Steph, any regrets?
My regret, I think, is not knowing myself enough to know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I'm not going to say I stay too long, because honestly, I don't really say that. I do say, though, I should have known what I wanted. I should have. Now I know what I want. Mm-hmm. But I am the person who I am today because maybe I had to go. I had to go through that. I had to. I literally find myself literally the day I decided to free myself of the relationship. I felt literally like a rebirth. A painful rebirth, but still a rebirth.
I'm just going to try and reframe that for a second before I come to Sarah over there. And I hear this a lot through the show. A lot of people talking about the, you know, I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't go through what I went through. And I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. Let's not dress up poop to look like a Christmas pudding.
Yeah.
Because crap is crap.
Yes, for sure.
And
yeah.
At the same time, I know, and maybe it's a regret of mine, that I had to navigate a huge wilderness and a lot of torture on myself because of the situations I put myself in or the situations that I was led into. Would I still be the person I am today if I hadn't gone through that? Well, I can tell you that person before they went through all that trauma was a pretty shiny person. So it took a long route to navigate
to
become a shiny person.
Yeah.
And I just want to just be mindful of that. Mm-hmm. We can be grateful for who we are right now. But I do regret having to go through so much wilderness and so much shit to get here. Mm-hmm.
No, I think the only regret I have is actually losing myself mm-hmm. in order to stay in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like I dimmed my light. I was stuck in a shell just for me to not rock the boat. Whereas now, more than ever, I am me. I'm sorry, and I know this sounds bad, but if you don't like me how I am, maybe I'm not for you.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound bad at all. I will do compromise. No, but some people will tell you, oh my God, you're so arrogant now. It's not arrogance. It's knowing who I am, knowing my worth, knowing what I bring to the table. Exactly. So I know that if you're not going to meet me halfway with the things that I require for me to feel as me, if it's time, if it's accountability, if it's support, if it's anything, I'm very sorry. Me and you cannot work.
But you just said, you said something really powerful in there. You said, I might not be your cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And we make an assumption that everybody has to be loved by everybody and lovable by everybody. And that is just not the case.
I just came to a realization as well that maybe people may not like me, and that's okay. If it's in my personal life with whoever I was dating before Alex, if it's more rather than if people like me, do I like them?
Mm.
And that is where these women that are still embarking on this journey need to understand. Don't settle for someone just to be in a relationship, just for you to say that you moved on.
Mm.
Find yourself. Find what you're really worth having. Know what you want. Lay down your boundaries and then move on. Because the minute you're going to find someone that is not going to show up the way that you want him to, you're just going to say, you know what? You cannot give me the time that I want. I'm very sorry. This relationship cannot work. In the beginning, that was one of my things. I did meet great people, but they turned up to be people that cannot give me what I want. Why? Because they were trying to keep me away from my son for them to enjoy time with me alone, but did not want to include my son.
Mm.
Then I'm very sorry. You're not my cup of tea.
And that's absolutely fine. I know it's insane, but what incredible, amazing thoughts that we've shared during this show. I feel like we really have gone full circle and we've given, I think, so many thoughts, so much empowerment to women who are either embarking on round two or their second adventure or however you want to term it, third, fourth, fifth in our cases, and also so much hope. But I would like to ask you for your closing word of wisdom for anybody who's coming out of their the one and heading into their second adventure, or maybe just coming out of that. I mean, I think one of the things I would pick up on that's set on the table that all of us identified is spend time by yourself.
Yes.
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 That's what I would say. I would say learn to be alone. Learn not to want or to think you need somebody else. So learn to live alone. Learn to be happy alone. learn to just go out and have fun mm-hmm. with friends or whatever. Just learn to be without, oh, I want to be in a relationship. I need to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Just learn to be. And the relationship will find you.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. And to add on to what Sue is saying.
Okay, your closing statement.
A lot of people have this notion that a relationship will complete you. Mm. Someone else will complete you.
No.
I am complete on my own.
That's it.
Alex is complete on his own. Together, we make a great big deal. And that is how I want it. I don't want my missing bits to be filled up by another person. Why? Because I know that my autonomy, my personality is who I am today. And I want it to be that way. Because like that, I don't have to rely on him to give me the validation and the support that I need in certain things. In other things, yes, for sure. But then again, I know that I can stand on my two feet and I can keep going even when maybe things get rough and the boat is rocky. Because let's face it, we've all mentioned like the fun stuff and mm-hmm. the rosy stuff. Challenges will happen as well. But there are going to be times where arguments are going to happen, but no, fully, that this time around,
it's okay.
Arguments are healthy.
Exactly.
And this is something that a lot of people are afraid of.
Yesterday, I know that she has to have her closing argument, but yesterday I listened to Jay Shetty. You know, And he was talking about relationships and he was saying, so basically, our life or ourselves is sort of like we're building a house from the day we're born. We're building a house. And in this house, we have these bricks and we have holes and we have damage and whatever. And anyway, so we end up sort of like this house, which is sort of like a little bit damaged and whatever. And then this other person also has been brought up sort of like and has his own damage. And so he or she has built his house. And so he has some good bricks and some bricks with holes and whatever. And then we meet and I want this person to come into my house. And this person wants me to come into their house, their broken house or whatever. And in reality, what we need to do is we need to create a house together, a new house where you bring your good bricks. I bring my good bricks. You leave your broken bricks behind and we build a new house together.
And magic. House.
So nice.
Now he, of course, Jay Shetty explains it much better than
that. No, you explained it quite well.
You did it beautifully.
And you did it beautifully, exactly.
But I thought, okay, that's it. Because it's true. We want everybody to come into us and to come into our thing and to kind of like try to fix the holes and whatever. And that's not the way to do it. Bring your good, bring his good or her good and build a new one together.
It's a beautiful one. Sue got two, I'm afraid, closing statements. But it's okay because a minute ago, Sue completely forgot what she was going to say. So that makes up for it. Steph, it's your first time on the show.
Yeah.
You get to have the final word.
Oh my God.
What is your advice? What is your...
I guess it's going to sound like a cliche, right? But before falling in love with someone else, fall in love with yourself again or... from scratch. In my case, I think I had to do it from scratch. I don't think I ever was in love with myself. Mm-hmm. I think I'm still learning to love myself, but it's a process.
I have to say that that's a common theme and I'm going to chin. What an awfully amazing show. Thank you, ladies.
But my glass is empty.
Bomba, that was absolutely fantastic.